All right, fellas, it's good to see you in Sunday school. And I hope you come with your cup turned up now. I'll make this announcement again in the preaching service, that we're only going to have our one service again today, and then on next week as well while I'm away. I wouldn't expect you to meet twice today in my presence, and once today in my presence, and twice in my absence. And so I'll let you meet again on next Sunday, on Sunday morning. I want you to get in the holy gear now. Don't be meeting about it. Praise God. And worship the Lord, all right? But we'll look at Psalm number 31 again this morning in our Sunday school hour. If you'll turn there, we'll try to get this psalm behind us today. And in our next Sunday school together, Lord willing, we'll pick up with Psalm 32. I think it's one of the greatest psalms in that particular book, and I'll say something about a particular verse in it when I teach through it. Verse number 8, this holds a special place in the life of Brother Hall, and I'll try to mention some things about that probably when we get there. All right, Psalm number 31, we'll begin reading today in verse number 8, okay, where David said, "Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that put trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." Now may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word today. Our Father, I thank thee this morning for thy word. It's truly been a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And I'm grateful that we have it, that we can, Lord, be strengthened by it, have our hearts blessed and comforted by it, that we can be reproved through it. And I pray that you'll be honored in what's said and done here this morning. Give us understanding from thy word and move our hearts that we might be enlarged in grace, that we might love thee more and more each day, be better servants, more obedient, more faithful to thee. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Fellas, I want to deal on the thought that I want to deal with this morning is found really in verse number 21. I want to tie that into verse number 19. Where David said there, "Blessed be the Lord, for he has showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city." And I want to deal for a little while on that thought this morning. God's marvelous kindness. God's marvelous kindness. Now, kind of looking back over this, over Psalm 31, we find that it's clearly divided into three sections. If you remember the first Sunday that I taught in this psalm, down through verse number 12, David there found Christ in his life and was magnifying the Lord for his work of grace that had gloriously rescued him from sin and all of his troubles. And I believe we can relate that portion of this text to David's early years when he was saved by the grace of God. I'll be honest with you, fellas, when we were first saved, that is the first and foremost thought on our mind, is what God has done for us. That should be on the mind, on the heart of every child of God. I mean, we ought to never get over what the Lord's done for us. How he delivered us out of our sin and delivered us out of all of our troubles. Somebody said, "Well, when I got saved, my trouble started." Yeah, but it's a different kind of trouble.
Yeah.
Amen. When I was lost, I was in trouble with the Lord.
That's right.
Amen. After I got saved, I was in trouble for the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. That's the kind of trouble you can handle right
there. Yeah.
See, he'll handle them for you. But now, from verse number 13 on down through verse number 17, David there describes the life of a pilgrim as he suffers affliction and being made conformable unto the Lord Jesus. I think that should be likened unto our life that we live, or our Christian life. So in the first part of this psalm, David is viewing what God done for him in his initial experience of being saved. In the second part of it, or the second third of it, David is looking there at his pilgrimage, which is a life of suffering. Now, I will say to you quite honestly that every child of God will suffer to a certain degree. Some more than others. But we all will have our place in suffering. If you read Philippians chapter 1, verse number 29, Paul said there that it is given on the behalf of Christ, not only that we believe on Him, but that we suffer. For his namesake, Paul writing there to all believers, to the church of Philippi in particular, but to all believers. And there's going to be a certain amount of suffering, whether it be physical affliction, whether it be suffering in the soul or persecution, but there's going to be suffering in this pilgrim life. And by the way, gentlemen, it don't get any better. Right. If you think you're having it rough now, wait till you serve God for a little while. And wait till He places you in a position of authority, where the devil makes you a real object of his oppression. And you know what it is to really suffer. And you know what? I'll be honest with you. Now, this is not in our text today. But I'm learning to suffer verbal slander and just keep my mouth shut. It'd be a happy day when we receive persecution through verbal slander and just keep on going. Somebody said, "Brother Paul, that's not like the Bible." Yeah, it is. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. I mean, when he's persecuted, our Lord did not open his mouth. You know why? Because he knew that everything that occurred to him was there through the divine will of Almighty God.
Amen.
And it will be in our life too. But now when we come to this closing a third of Psalm 31, and we're closing these verses, David here now in these closing verses, David's faith elevates his heart beyond his troubles. And the Lord's kindness overshadows his affliction and his suffering. And David here seems to be completely overwhelmed. And in verse number 19, he exclaims, "Oh, how great is thy goodness."
Amen.
How great is thy goodness. And I believe I can safely say this, fellas, that David is now here looking back. He's looking back at his initial experience when God delivered him. He's realized that he's lived a life of suffering and disappointment. And yet, looking at all this, David's faith is able to elevate him to a place where he can say, "Oh, how great is the goodness of Almighty God." Now, by way of introduction, let me say that God, we find here, God's grace or goodness is marvelous in at least four different ways. I find it marvelous because it came in such a time as it did. Gentlemen, I'm telling you the truth. When Brother Hall was saved by the grace of God, I was not looking for the Lord.
Amen.
Now, maybe you were, but I wasn't.
Amen.
I will be quite honest with you. My salvation literally came as a surprise from the hand of God. I mean, one day I was lost, and the next day I'm saved for the good grace of God.
Amen.
And I can't imagine God's goodness and kindness being magnified to me in the time of my life that it was. Look back at your life.
Amen.
Where were you in your life when God saved you? I'm gonna be honest with you. God will save a sinner. Are you listening now? God will save a sinner at his deepest pit. While he's in the deepest pit of his life is when God will bring you out. See, you got to get lost, gentlemen, before you can ever get saved. That's right. And you got to realize you're in trouble before you can ever get out of trouble. You need to realize that you need blessed before you'll ever get blessed. And that you need help before you'll ever get help. And I'm telling you that God's goodness, when I consider the time of my life when God brought me out, I've got to be like David and exclaim, "Oh, how great is the goodness of the Lord." It came to me at such a time. And then it's marvelous that it came to me in such a way.
Amen.
I'm telling you, I've never gotten over that way. Hallelujah to God. I mean, just hearing the preaching, the simple preaching of the Word of God. And God's goodness manifest and flooded my soul with great joy.
Yeah.
And then it's marvelous in that it came to me in such a measure. Woo! Somebody said, how much of it did you get? Every bit of it,
right?
The whole load.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm not complaining now. I'm not trying to preach what another man said. But I was listening to my old brother Paul Maynard this week. And Brother Paul's making some statements about folks trying to find the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
After they get saved, then they start seeking the Holy Ghost. Hey, I'm going to tell you what, folks. I got the full measure.
Yeah.
You know, some folks live like there's more of God to be had, no? There's more of you than God wants.
That's good, preacher.
And that's right. You've got all of God you ever did when you got saved.
Yeah.
When the indwelling Spirit of God took up His residence in your bosom, God came in. And then contrary to what some of our Baptist brethren believe, you didn't get Him as Savior and then Lord on down the road.
Right.
You got Him as a person.
Amen.
And He is Savior and He is Lord.
Amen.
And you got all of Him, not a portion of Him. What a measure of Christ. And then it's marvelous in that it came to me for so long. What goodness?
Amen.
Came to me for so long. Hey, I let some Baptists live like God's goodness is going to be cut off.
Right.
Hey, what can separate us from the love of Christ, gentlemen?
Amen.
Not persecution, not prayer, not family.
Yeah.
That's good.
No preacher in heaven, no preacher on the earth, no preacher beneath the earth. There is not one thing that can separate us from the love of Christ. Oh, man, I'll tell you what, there's a whole lot of Armenian believers now that that you got him for a little while, but you might lose him. But I'm glad that he's mine for time and eternity. As the songwriter said, he's not mine, how is it, for time alone, but for eternity. Hey, somebody said, well, what about the goodness of God? As long as I've got him, I've got his goodness.
Yes.
Oh, how great. And look here. That goodness of God should be the subject of gratitude and the ground for the very concept. God's goodness should be the very reason that we've got a thankful heart, brethren.
Amen.
Stop and contemplate on that thing for a minute.
Amen.
Oh, how much gratitude should we have in our heart for what God done for us?
Amen.
You know, I plowed the ditch up here yesterday with the trap. And I run her sideways down the ditch, flipped her over, son, and it was in a mess up there in the middle of the road. And the first car that stopped now, the very first car that stopped, so the pickup truck, some old boy coming rolling out of it, had a hair about that long, hair running dangling out of his ears. He said, could you use some help? And I looked at him, and God said, hey, said, you better take all the help you can get, son. Are you living one minute? Wasn't long, here comes some woman running up over the hill. She's naked as she can be, son. And she said, do you need some help? And I took one look at her and I said, pardon? I knew exactly what she said. I said, pardon? She said, could you use some help? The Lord said, you better take it, son. Better take it, son. At one time, I was thankful to see an old long-haired boy with an ear right in his ear.
Right?
And believe it or not, I'm thankful to see a naked woman. Hey! But here, folks, here's the thought that my heart is entertaining right now. That it should be the subject of our gratitude. The thought that overwhelms me today is that could be me.
Right.
Hey, I'd make it over and put them in my wife.
Yeah, right.
The glory to God. Thank God. The great, marvelous kindness of our God appears to mortal fill the hall. And that should be the ground that was the subject of our gratitude and the ground of our covenant. If His goodness has been manifest to you once, how much more now that we're saved should we enjoy the goodness of God? Listen what old brother Paul said here now. Yeah, that's right, it is wonderful. Listen to what Brother Paul said. He said, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish. Somebody said, I wasn't foolish.
Yes, you was.
The Bible said you was. Hey, it takes a fool to sit down on a bar stool and drink liquor.
Right.
It takes a fool to suck on cigarettes knowing they're going to kill him.
Amen.
It takes a fool to hazard his life intentionally. Jeremiah was foolish, and so was you. He said, and sometimes disobedient. That's right. Deceived. Serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy and hateful and hating one another. Somebody said, was I like that? Absolutely you were like that. Because the Bible says you were, not because Brother Hall said it, but because God said that's the way we were.
Yes. Right.
But this, notice, verse 4, but after that,
yes,
the kindness and the love,
yes,
of God,
amen,
our Savior, yes, toward man appeared.
Thank God.
Amen. And it appeared first at Calvary.
Yeah.
Amen. That's right. Thank God that His kindness,
yeah,
has appeared to you and I.
Amen.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Amen. And it said, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration,
yeah,
and renewing of the Holy Ghost. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm simply saying this kindness should be the subject of our gratitude, gentlemen, and the ground of our confidence in
you. Yeah.
Now, don't nobody leave me here. God's goodness is so marvelous, the bearded prophet said, that it cannot be measured.
Even.
Right. But it can be marveled at.
Yes,
Lord. Yes, yes. Now, get your measuring string, gentlemen.
Yes, Lord.
Where is the tape measure that will measure the kindness of God? Where is the ruler that can fathom the love of God towards all men?
Right.
It cannot be measured, but it sure can be marveled at.
Yes, sir.
Yes, Lord.
The songwriter looked at the Word of God and God's goodness and had to stop and say, oh, how marvelous.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, how wonderful.
Yes, sir.
He is my Savior's love for me.
Amen.
Are you here one of the things?
Yes.
You can't measure it, but you can marvel at it. And I do marvel.
Yes, sir.
How many can love me a sinner to get my
way?
Yes. Hallelujah!
Yeah.
Make me want to have a Baptist fit right there.
Yeah.
Oh yes, cannot be measured, but it can be marveled at. And notice this: and though we cannot calculate it with accuracy, we can adore it with fervency.
Man,
put your calculator on, gentlemen. I'm going to tell you what you can do. You can take God's kindness, you can divide it, you can multiply it. You can add to it, but you'll never subtract from it.
Amen. Right?
Amen.
Right.
Good. I'm about like Ronnie Waters now. I'm about ready to swallow about four times and run. Amen. Now notice here, God's goodness is so marvelous. But here, notice as the psalmist contemplates God's goodness, he divides it into three parts, gentlemen. Look at the text with me, please. He divides it into three parts. He says, first of all, oh, how great is thy goodness which thou hast laid up for them. So God's goodness, number one, is laid up in store. In other words, it's in reserve for us. It's laid up. I mean, just like you would take your wife would take your clothes out of the laundry basket and lay them in your chest of drawers, whatever you have, your dresser, and close the door on it, and laid it up in store for you to go. Hey, it's been laid up. And the blessed thing of it is, it's available anytime you want it.
I give up.
Huh? But it's always clean.
Yes, sir.
And available. Are you listening? Notice the second thing now. He said, He's laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them. That trust thee before the sons of men. Number one, it is laid up for us. Number two, God's goodness is wrought for us. It's been accomplished. Not only is it laid up, but it's been accomplished for us. Now I want to touch the third thing, then I'll come back to the first two. And he said, finally then, in the next verse, it's hid for us. He said, thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of men. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Now I want you to listen very carefully here, gentlemen, everybody, what the bearded prophet said here, and then I'll come back to these first two, okay? The bearded prophet said these things in verse number 3, the Lord does secretly.
Amen.
He said that so that no human eyes can or may see, and the ungodly do not know that a believer is in God. Gentlemen, get a hold of that. God has so hid you and I.
Amen.
That the unbeliever and the ungodly cannot discern the fact that we are hid in God. Isn't that what Brother Paul said in the book of Colossians? Knowing that our life is hid with Christ.
Amen.
In God. We're hid there. But now notice this, and I like this. Boy, when I got a hold of this, I like to shout it all over the basement. He said, and it's in the presence of God, so well protected that no reproach or contempt or no quarrelsome tongue can do him harm. Gentlemen, get a hold of that. David said there that he had hide them in the secret of his presence from the pride of man and keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Gentlemen, that right there should eliminate any retaliation that you and I have against anybody that verbally attacks us.
Amen.
Let us rage.
Right.
You know what I learned in that verse? That their stinking talk, their verbal remarks, their attacks will not do you one bit of harm because you are hid in God.
Amen.
Right. I'm going to tell you what, and I say this as kindly as I know how. I have been in this ministry slandered, talked about, criticized, ridiculed, mocked. I've been the conversation piece of a lot of Baptist preachers.
Yes, sir.
I have been the conversation piece of a lot of members. I've been the conversation piece of a lot of members, two Baptist preachers. I've been remarked at, talked about like I was a dog, and some folks have even stood in the presence of other Baptist preachers and let them talk about me and then claim to love me as their pastor. God help me. God take mercy on your soul. I'm just being honest with you, fellas. If you're sitting on the church pew of Island Ford Baptist Church and you stand in the presence of another man and let them criticize and ridicule your pastor without taking some kind of stand, you are a sorry rascal indeed.
Amen.
Right. But look here. You know what the Lord said? Lord said, let their tongue just let it fly.
Amen.
Their words are powerless.
Right.
Because in my goodness, I have hid you in my secret pavilion in my presence. And their tongue, the strife of their tongue, will cause you no reproach whatsoever. That's what David Thomas said. Now, if you can get a hold of that, that'll help you.
Yeah.
Some of you men on the job, some of you out in the workplace, or some of you with acquaintance, some of you's got family and friends and acquaintances that probably talk about you like you're a dog.
Let
them talk.
Amen.
Smile at them when they walk by you and tell them how much you love them. Go on. That's right. Hallelujah to God. Now, note something here, gentlemen. Now, I'm trying to move along from this. One writer said this. He said that God's goodness is laid up for us in the promises of God.
Amen.
But it is wrought for us in the performance of God. In other words, God made a promise to us, and then God wrought it for us.
Amen.
Are you hearing what I'm saying? Huh? And these things are conditional. They really have three conditions. And I'm trying to expound this for you to help you then. Look here. It is conditional. God's goodness, to the fullest extent, is conditional for you and I. Notice what he said in verse number 19. Oh, how great is thy goodness which thou hast laid up for what? Them that fear thee.
That's right.
Yeah. Right. Not the happy-go-lucky joker that has no fear of God at all.
Right.
And I'll be honest with you, the longer I serve God, the more fear it is.
Right.
I'm going to say, when I got home yesterday and finally got my nerves settled down a little bit, I said, Lord, what did I do? What are you trying to tell me? Will you please tell me if I've done anything wrong? I want to know about it.
Amen.
If you're offended at me, I want to. If I've offended you, I want to know about it.
Amen.
Well, I'm going to say, you're looking at one Methodist preacher that has learned to fear God. Hey,
amen.
God, friend, holds our life right there in the palm of His hand and do with whatever He says.
Right.
And a man that has no fear of God is an absolute fool.
Right.
Huh?
Yeah.
Are you hearing what I'm saying? And yet we good folks live, I'm talking about folks that on Baptist church.
Yeah.
No fear.
And have no fear of God whatsoever.
Amen.
Huh? God, may God help us now.
Amen.
That is exactly, hey, somebody said, well, why don't God help me? Why don't I, hey, learn to fear Him.
Right.
Amen.
Yep.
Amen.
That's right.
Learn to fear Him.
Man.
I don't tell you what, if church members fear God like they should have cut out on a whole lot of gossip down the church.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. You better believe it.
That's why men can run their mouth.
Yeah.
That is exactly, gentlemen, why men can gossip and run their mouth about the man of God, about the church, about old time religion, amen. It's because they have no answer, they have no fear of God whatsoever. I'm telling you, that Bible is still right, gentlemen. And it said, touch not divine anointed, neither do my prophets no harm.
Amen.
And a man that would persist in doing so is an absolute fool, or he has no fear of God, one or the other.
Amen.
A man that is often reproved and hardeneth his neck, gentlemen, shall be suddenly cut off, and that without remedy. If there was fear of God, we'd believe that verse of Scripture.
Amen.
Amen.
Huh?
Yes,
sir. Hey, fellas, will y'all, hey, will y'all just hear me just for a minute? Just let me just kind of get off on something here just for a minute. The more I read in the Old Testament Scripture, from the deliverance of Israel until the prophets, the more that I realize exactly what their disobedience and their rebellion led them to.
Yeah.
It was their rebellion against God and their disobedience against God and their hard-heartedness toward God that led them into captivity.
Amen.
Huh? And hey, and the thing of it is, God rose up and sent the Bethites and sent them prophets, but they would not hear. Somebody said, oh, but that was Israel and we're different. No, sir. Human nature is exactly the same from one generation to another and it never changes.
Right.
Yes. No fear of God.
Yeah.
Oh, I live in, you know where I am? And the second one is coupled right with it. And I'm going to get this for one time both together. It said, for them to fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust thee.
Amen.
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 Amen. Fear and trust in God.
Amen.
See, our problem today, the reason there is no fear of God today, gentlemen, is because there is no faith in God. I'm telling you, old brother Milford Bill, and you can talk about him, call him whatever you want to call it. But I'm telling you, I heard him make the statement. He said, the greatest sin in our Baptist churches today is the lack of faith in God's people. And I say, amen.
Amen.
Right.
No confidence, no trust in God.
Amen.
If we had faith in God, we'd have more fear for God. And I'm going to show you why.
Amen.
Are y'all listening to me now? We'd have more faith in God, we'd have more fear toward God.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you what. You just follow me a minute. We live in a land, fellas, where everything is just laid out for us.
Right.
Huh? We don't really have to trust God. Right. If it turned right down good, 99% of us in this room this morning and probably 99% of the heart of that other percent would have to say that we trust more in our job and more in the Almighty God than we ever thought about trusting in God.
Right. Yeah.
That's exactly where we're living today. God have mercy on us, fellas.
Amen.
To get back to the old time way.
Amen. You're right.
and trust God.
Amen.
Believe Him. Trust His Word.
Amen.
What do you think He said in Deuteronomy 6 when He said, God warned those Jews that when you get into that land that is flowing with milk and honey, and said there's vineyards there that you didn't plant, and there's wells there that you didn't dig, and there's homes there that you didn't build. He said, you better beware lest you forget God. And here we're there.
That's right.
We are living that. We have done for God, God in America. Somebody get off. Well, the good times won't do that to you. Yes, it will. Yes, it will. Yes, it will.
Amen.
Yes, it will.
Amen.
Amen.
And notice the next thing, fellas, and this right here is the groundbreaker. He says, fear which thou hast wrought for them that trust thee before the sons of men.
Amen.
Somebody said, I have a secret to those that will openly confess Christ.
Yeah, that's true.
That are not ashamed of Him.
Yeah.
Oh, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation.
Yeah.
Are you, are you ashamed of any public to bow your head and praise?
Come on, preacher. Preach there. Go ahead.
Yeah.
You ashamed to bow your head and praise your food? Are you ashamed to stand up to the heathen and let them know you're a child of God? That you love God with all your heart? Buddy, I'm telling you what, I'll never forget that day we was up at RMC visiting. I don't remember who was in there, but I'm telling you, it blessed my heart. There's a little old black woman about that tall.
Yes.
Yes. And we crawled on that elevator, Brother George, and was heading up to one of the floors, and it was packed. When Miss Paul and I squeezed in the door, we couldn't even turn around. We were standing there facing the whole crowd. I mean, you know how it is in an elevator. Some of them got bad breath and everything else. And you all plugged in, popped in on top of it. But this week, we shut that button, that door closed, and before anybody could say a word, somebody said, when I walked on, somebody said, are you going up? And that little old black lady said, yes, show me his honey for the last time one of these days. Said, I love you and say, by the grace of God, I'm going to get ready to go. I said, what I want to know is, all y'all on this elevator in love with Jesus. God, she got more preaching on that elevator than no
sinners.
That woman was not ashamed of him, right? Open confession. He said, if you're ashamed of me and my words, I will be ashamed of you. Are you listening, fellas? Now, I've just now got to the outline, and I'll try to give it to you real quick.
Thank you.
Now, notice now what I said a while ago is that this goodness of God or this kindness of God, you can't, they're one and the same thing, gentlemen. Kindness and goodness are inseparable, and both words are mentioned in these verses. Hey, but they're laid up in the promise. God wrought them in the performance of it. Now, what about the promise? Where, in what promise, do we find the goodness of God? Fellas, and this is so simple, but I'm telling you, it's more than my heart can comprehend. What about the promise, God's goodness, in the promise of eternal life?
Amen!
Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began.
Amen.
Now, you're talking about the goodness of God. Promised before and provided before the world began.
Right.
Anybody?
Let that soak in.
Yes, sir.
My dear Calvinist brethren.
Amen.
Or Armenians, whichever you may be. Or the in-betweeners. It makes no difference to me. But God, hey, what a God's goodness. Thunderhead! David could say, oh! I mean, oh! The goodness of God!
Oh, yes.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Knowing that He promised eternal life before the world ever began, brother.
Amen.
Now, that's hard for my mind to go back that far. I can't even go back to the date of my physical birth, much less go back 6,000 years before the world began.
Right.
But to comprehend. beyond debate. Hey, did it occur to you, gentlemen, that our life was promised and provided for in the mind of God? From when? It must have always been in the mind of God. In fact, gentlemen, everybody, don't nobody lose me now. Call me a cabinet. But eternal has neither ending nor beginning.
That's right.
And He promised eternal life. Somebody said, oh, I had a beginning. No, not in the mind of God.
Amen.
Call me whatever you want to call me, brethren. It makes no difference to me. But I tell you, it never rattled God's mind one bit. September the 13th, 1970. As an old lost sinner, boy, when God called my name and I humbly accepted the grace of God, walked down the aisle of grace down the church and was saved by the grace of God, it did not save God by surprise.
Amen.
He promised it from the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world. And by the way, before the foundation of the world, gentlemen, means an eternity past.
Amen.
In other words, God promised eternal life before there was ever time.
Yeah.
And when there is no time, you can't make the time. When there is no time, so it's bound to be eternal.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh.
And somebody says, what about everlasting life? Everlasting life has a beginning but no end. In the mind of God, it's always been. In your mind and my mind, it has a beginning.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. Amen. I scratched my head on that thing and said unto God, what's happened? I remember I went down and sat down at my brother's house and I said, am I understanding what went on today at all? He said, I don't know what you think went on. I said, I've heard where Jesus said in the Bible, Jesus is going to come one of these days and people, I said, does that mean now, if He come now? He said, that's what it means. Can you get a hold of that gentleman?
Amen.
Life. That's the promise of God. Oh, what goodness.
Amen.
Undeserving. And I'm going to be honest with you. Call me whatever you want. Unwanted. I'd rather be in sin than a drop on my life. But hallelujah to God. When I was dead, the kindness of God, our Savior appeared in the person of Christ and brought me into the family of God and did for me what I could not do for myself.
Right.
No wonder I say, oh, somebody said, but what about the performance, Preacher Hall? I'm glad you asked. The performance of it. I said we see it laid up in the promise, wrought in the performance. See, something still had to be done for me to get this life.
Right.
And you to get that life. Right. And we see the performance of it. Him performing for us. Him. I think such a word as ringing, are they ringing and good? Rolling the good. He rolled. Hey, in the first. Hey, man! Glory! Somebody said, how did He perform it? In His coming, brethren, He performed it. John 10:11, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Performed in His coming. That's the very reason Christ came into the world, was to positively bring eternal life to all those that are going to trust in Him.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. What goodness.
Yes.
Performed in His coming. Jesus didn't necessarily come to be a preacher. He didn't necessarily come to do benevolent deeds. Gentlemen, He come to die that life might spring out of death.
Right?
What goodness.
performed in his coming. I've come. Why'd you come to this earth, Jesus? I come to make a lot of money. I come to receive earthly praise from men. True, but not all necessarily. I've come that he, gentlemen, not have life.
Right.
You were dead.
Yes, sir.
What goodness? You were dead in trespasses and sins. Now I'm going to say it again right there. Call me whatever you want to call. But honey, a dead man has no ability to respond to nothing. If you think one does, run up on the straw this afternoon, lean your ear down the casket, go talk to whoever's up there and tell them to set up. You suck a little bit of IC with you. They'll lay there. They're dead, gentlemen. You're looking at a preacher that believes in the tone of the Bible. And praying to God, the Holy Ghost, not came to where you and I were, dead in our trespasses and sins. We'll yet be there. Performed in his calling.
Amen.
Somebody said that he called me.
Yes,
the bear like honey.
Amen.
Cats got climbing here, rabbits eat carrots. Huh? I was reading last night there in John chapter number 11,
yeah,
where old Lazarus died.
Yeah.
And you know how the story went. He went down to resurrect Lazarus out of the grave, and when he got down there, oh, hurried up, Martha. Yeah. Headed out of that house. Got it straight this time, didn't it, Brother Jerry? Oh, hurried up, Martha. Run out of the house and went out to meet him. He said, oh, said, if you'd have been here, said, my brother had not died. He said, you just believe and he'll live. She said, oh, I know you believe in the resurrection. And he said, hey, Martha, I am the resurrection.
That's right.
Are you listening to me? But a couple verses down from that, in verse number 28 of that same chapter, after Martha got so filled up with the goodness of God, Mary was still sitting at the house.
Amen.
And there she was sitting there. Everybody else knew that Jesus had come, but Mary still sat there. And you know what? Martha come running in and looked at her sister and said, arise, the Master calleth. Not somebody else.
Amen.
The Master calleth thee.
Yes.
Gentlemen, do you realize what it means to be called from God?
Yes.
When you got saved, it was a call in your life. Oh, what goodness of God. He could have called somebody, said,
yes,
but he didn't. He called you.
Yes.
Thank God.
Yes. 365 feet down that old line, Brother Jerry. He could have called that fellow worship when he died. Yeah. My Jerry, he called Jerry.
Yes,
amen.
Amen.
That night, Brother Ricky, on that Tuesday night, he could have called Joe Blow.
Right.
But he called Ricky.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
That night, Brother Steve, that day, out there in that old shed on Noel Avenue, working on that old automobile or bridges or whatever it was, he could have called anybody in Madisonville. But gentlemen, they're all over Madisonville yet today, dying and going to heaven. And the Master calleth thee.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
What goodness, brethren.
Yes,
he comes, and then he calls.
Yes, sir.
Amen. He could have come and spent his life over there, went back to heaven, left me and my sin, died and died and went to hell. But he comes. Call anybody.
That's right.
He called me.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
I'll never forget that day. 5 minutes back. Hallelujah, God. Jesus met me in the aisle.
Yes.
Amen.
And he performed it not only in his coming and his calling,
amen,
but he performed it in his crucifixion.
Amen.
When he died. John chapter number 19 and verse number 30. After everything was fulfilled and he had received the vinegar, gave his mama to John the Beloved. And as he hung there on the cross between heaven and earth, he looked up into heaven and looked God the Father in the face and cried, "It is finished!
Amen. Yes, sir.
I've done it!
Amen.
I've performed it! I have brought the goodness of God down to earth!" Don't you want to see God's goodness? Look at the Son of the living God.
Yes.
He did love me and gave himself for me. Amen. Oh, what a time! I said, "Brother Hall, what do you mean an excellent life?" I'm glad you asked.
Yes, sir.
But covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet I show unto you a more excellent way.
Right?
Hey, fellas, look back at where you were. And where you are now.
Right.
And the life, just compare your life that you're living now with the life you usually live.
Amen.
If that happened years ago, what happened yesterday? I've been sitting in that car with an old can of blue ribbon beer between the legs.
Amen.
Big bong bell hanging out my mouth. And I wouldn't have been listening to WSOF either. I'd have been listening to something far out in the world, gentlemen.
Amen.
Hey, I want to say to you, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now, but
Amen.
He's promised me an excellent life. I come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundance. Thanks be unto God. God's good to me. I don't have any sad stories to tell you.
Amen.
Bless his wonderful name. Bless his name for his marvelous kindness.
Amen.
Right. An excellent life. And by the way, it is a life of love.
Amen.
We see the performance. Somebody said, but how did he perform it? In his life as an example. He said in John 13 and verse number 1, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Let me ask you something this morning, friend. Did you love your brother sitting next to you to the end?
Amen.
If you do, love will cover a multitude of sin. Love boasteth not itself, is not puffed up. Love is not envious. Love is kind. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Hey, somebody said, did he even love old cussing Peter? Yeah, he loved cussing Peter.
Amen.
Did he love denying Peter? Yes, he loved denying Peter. Marvel of marvels. But brother, that regardless of what you have done, God still loved you. And to take a heart that was full of hate and give it, fill it with the love of God and make it love its neighbor and charity and kindness for the glory. What about that? The promise of an excellent life, performed in his life, performed in his labors, and performed in his leaving. Somebody said, "Well, how in the world did he perform in his leaving?" He said, "I'm going away, but I'm not leaving you. I'll send you another
comforter.
One called Promise. I'll send you somebody else tonight, gentlemen."
That's right.
Amen. And then I'm going to close with this, I think. The promise of an exit life.
Yeah. Hang on.
Somebody said, what do you mean an exit life? You know what I mean, you sorry devil.
Yes, sir.
You know exactly what I mean. But I would not have you be ignorant, brother. Concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope.
For if we believe that Jesus died and rose, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with them. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep.
Yeah.
The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another.
Yeah.
I'm talking about an excellent
yeah.
I'm getting ready to exit this place. You know?
Yeah.
And 1 Corinthians 4:16-17 has got exit signs written all over.
Amen.
I entered from a womb, but I'm going to exit through a door.
Yes.
John said, Revelation 4:1, he said, after these things I beheld a door was opened in heaven.
Amen.
Amen. It didn't swing in, it swings out. We're leaving this place.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Somebody said, how did he perform it? I'm glad you asked. He performed it by his appearing.
Yes.
He's cutting, gentlemen.
Yes.
For the Lord himself shall descend from him.
Yes.
He's not going to send an angel, no, sir.
Yes.
He's not going to send somebody else to do his business. Not a prophet, not Moses,
yes.
Not Elijah, but the Lord himself will come in.
Yes.
Amen. Then he performs it by his awakening. Could be all right, then you get woke up this morning.
Amen.
Amen.
Even so, them also which sleep. Gentlemen, I want to say to you, I lay in bed this morning, and at 6 o'clock, that alarm clock said, and that alarm awakened me. I woke up. My body was rested. I felt good. There's a new day on the horizon.
Amen.
I was rested from my labors, ready to go for another day. You mark her down. One of these days, if death overtakes us, we're going to be great. This body is going to be great.
Amen.
I'm going to take the apple from the body and rest with the Lord.
Amen.
This body will sleep. You see, hey, look here. We always talk about, well, God's going to give us a brand new body. I want you to hear what I'm getting ready to tell you. God is going to glorify the body you're living in, buddy.
Amen.
He didn't leave his body in the grave, gentlemen. It come out.
Amen.
This body's going to be laid in a hope chest and it's going to sleep for a while.
Amen.
Hallelujah, God, one of these days, we're going to hear the alarm clock.
Yes, amen.
And look here, we will awake refreshed.
Yes,
and ready to be a brand new day.
Yes,
in God.
That's
and you know what? You know what? Hey, you know what the alarm clock's going to be? For them lazy sleepers, he's got three of them lined up. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout.
Hey!
And with the voice of the archangel, come up hither! And with the trump of God, assemble unto me! You know, that's exactly what that trumpet means, gentlemen. It's assembly time.
Amen.
When I first went in the army, they inducted me down to good old Fort Knox, Kentucky.
Hallelujah.
Wonderful. And they let us go to bed about midnight. And at 4 o'clock in the morning, they woke us up. I thought, my God, these fellows, they don't. I said, I'm going back to sleep. I need a little more rest than this, boys. But you know what I woke up to? And about that time, I heard that old sergeant holler. Run away outside! Boys, I'm telling you, what days an alarm going to sound one of these days.
Yeah.
It's going to call for a run away up your this life.
Yes.
Someone said, oh, do you have the promise of it? Yes.
Yes.
Let your heart and all the unbelieving infidel and medicine live. I'm leaving out.
Yes.
It's all because, gentlemen, of the goodness of God and His marvelous.